Thursday, April 5th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. For many, if I had come on here 5 years ago, two even, and told you that Facebook was allowing your most personal data to be mined and the government was using that data to build files on each of us, I would have been deemed crazy by a vast majority. Yet, here we are. If I would have said a few years ago that leaders of the DNC would actually be openly calling to repeal the Second Amendment, I would have also been called crazy. Even still today, to some degree, despite it happening right in front of us. Their programming is so intense that if they had yet to see the information themselves, they have been taught to reflexively dismiss it. And even then, some still choose to assume it's some grand trick to manipulate them, failing to see the irony in the fact that they are currently being manipulated to ignore the truth. This same routine of lashing out at those trying to expose government corruption or ideas disregarded as conspiracy theory is seen over and over throughout U.S. history. And in more cases than I can recount in one show, these once crazy conspiracy theories are now to a large degree common knowledge, such as the NSA spying program or geoengineering, or the fact that what we have been told about 9/11 is embarrassingly and now verifiably untrue. Or even that the U.S. government has experimented on unwitting Americans, oftentimes to their fatal detriment, countless times throughout our very own history. Oh, well, that was a long time ago, you say, as if that changes anything. But that's also not true. Yet the current cases of such experimentation are still ignorantly dismissed as crazy, until one day 50 years from now, proof is somehow exposed. How much more obvious does this need to be? How long will we be on this merry-go-round of denial? As the old saying goes, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it, which is clearly what we are seeing in real time. However, the government has taken it upon themselves to adjust this saying a little bit, to read, those who are too conditioned to see otherwise will only learn the history we choose to tell them, and then they will repeat it. Let's get into the stories from today, starting with a story coming from ZeroHedge.com, body of missing CDC researcher found in river. This is a story that we've been covering extensively as it develops, and it's only continued to get more suspicious. Timothy Cunningham, age 25, was last seen February 12th after he left work midway through the day due to an illness, according to a CDC supervisor, prompting his friends and family to sound the alarm. The family of Timothy J. Cunningham grew concerned after the Harvard-trained U.S. Navy officer wouldn't answer texts or calls. Driving over 600 miles from Maryland to Atlanta, Cunningham's parents gained access to his house, where they found their son's phone, wallet, and driver's license. Quoted by the New York Times, his father said that Commander Cunningham had, quote, a lot going on, personally and professionally, and his most recent conversation with his son had left him worried. His father is quoted as saying, the tone and the numerous exchanges gave us reason to be concerned about Tim, and I don't know if it's an instinct you have because it's your child, but it was not a normal conversation, and I was not comfortable. Cunningham's car was parked in the garage while his dog was left all by himself. His father also said, quote, Tim never leaves his dog unattended. He just doesn't do it. His brother had said, quote, none of this makes sense. He wouldn't just evaporate like this and leave his dog alone and have our mother wondering and worrying like this. He wouldn't. His sister said the last time they spoke that Timothy had not, quote, sounded like himself. Atlanta police said Cunningham had been upset over not receiving a promotion. However, the CDC later retracted that information, stating that he had in fact recently received one. Cunningham, who was promoted to commander in the U.S. Public Health Service last July, had worked on the government's response to both Zika and Ebola outbreaks. With 2 degrees from Harvard's School of Public Health, he had been named one of the Atlanta Business Chronicle's 40 Under 40 award winners. This story just continues to get more and more suspicious. And obviously the idea that he worked directly with Zika and Ebola government responses clearly stands out to us. But we always have to point out that it's entirely possible that he simply left with some kind of random illness that was unrelated, became delirious, and ended up dead in a river. I mean, there's clearly some information missing in that story, but it's entirely possible. But as I've maintained from the beginning, something about this story just stands out as suspicious. There's something going on here. I mean, with somebody that works where he does at the CDC and works with such things like Zika and Ebola, things that we've verifiably shown throughout the last so many years, that the government manipulation behind not only the information behind those cases, but where they come from and all kinds of different information that you know, that someone such as him could have possibly stumbled upon. And now he's, you know, taken out ultimately. Now, again, that is completely hypothetical. I'm just guessing based on the information in front of us, which I often warn people not to do. But this one to me has always stood out as something very suspicious from the very beginning. The way it all happened with his family, with his house. I mean, it all just seems extremely suspicious. So this is a story that we need to continue to research and continue to point out. I mean, it's something that, I mean, clearly I almost saw this coming, the way that he just ends up missing and now he shows up dead. To me, this stands out as something that we need to continue to research, because to me, there's something behind this. And I would guess that it has to do with what he found or something he came across, or maybe, you know, especially with all of the conflicts of interest and all of the corruption being exposed at the CDC, it's entirely possible that he stumbled across something he shouldn't have and was taken out for it. Now, people may recoil at the fact that I'll even jump to that conclusion, but this is something that we've seen throughout history in regard to people in these positions more times than we can possibly count. So it's something that I think is important to at least consider. Again, complete hypothetical guess by me. I'm just simply trying to feel out this story and find something that makes sense, because clearly there's something more to this story. So we'll continue to keep up on this as we have and bring more to you as we find it. But I highly recommend everybody dig into this story and you know, feel free to send me information that you may think is pertinent to what's actually going on. Now to the next story, this is more of a public service announcement that I think is very important to cover. And it's basically went out today across all, like lots of mainstream media and different news break apps. It was sent out to basically everybody saying, a rare Surgeon General's advisory urges more Americans to carry naloxone, if I'm saying that correctly, a drug also known as Narcan that reverses opioid overdoses, which I just found incredibly ironic and hypocritical and so many different things. So really, for me, the real motive is revealed here. The open attacks on both on all natural alternatives, they clearly want us to use more drugs to stop a problem caused by their drugs instead of a natural fix with no side effects such as cannabis or kratom. And it's important to understand that this is a common effort behind these things, to basically more drugs to counter issues of current drugs until you are swimming in medications. And that ultimately is the plan here. But we have to understand the reality behind these things is cannabis and kratom and what they actually do with basically zero side effects. And now they're coming out with the drug they want you to use instead of addressing something that really where it comes from. And then the fact that we have natural alternatives that are far more effective with less side effects. So first, let's take a look at the drug they're now telling every American to carry and use without concern. Common side effects of Narcan: flushing, dizziness, tiredness, weakness, nervousness, restlessness, irritability, body aches, diarrhea, stomach pain, nausea, fever, chills, goosebumps, sneezing, shortness of breath, or runny nose. Severe side effects of Narcan include agitation, high or low blood pressure, cardiac arrhythmias, shortness of breath, pulmonary edema, abnormal brain function, seizures, coma, and death. So get that. So they're telling every American that this is something they should be carrying and using without concern, when it's possibly, when one of its side effects is actually coma, death, and seizures. Yet while we have something like cannabis and kratom that is shown to do to amazingly combat the issue of opioid addiction. And I mean, really, to me, this just it sums up a very large problem in one simple point here. That they are telling people to take more drugs to combat a problem created by their drugs instead of addressing the fact that they have natural alternatives that are doing an excellent job in stopping it. And that, I think, to me, that reveals the fact that this is not about healing people at all. I think this is a larger agenda at play, and it's all about big pharma and creating more uses for more drugs. And, you know, they'll have all these things to combat new things. It's just, it's very frustrating to see this come out when many people are going to just jump on this and assume, oh, here's a good solution to a problem they're actually trying to fix. When in reality, I would argue that it's not something they're trying to fix at all. I think this is continuing to get worse despite all of the government rhetoric. And we can see that all they want to do is prescribe more drugs with more side effects to stop something that's already getting worse. And I think that has to reveal the reality behind this situation. And this perfectly rolls into the next story coming from ZeroHedge.com. Medical marijuana lowers rates of opioid use, new study finds. More than 60,000 Americans are expected to die this year from drug overdoses, as powerful synthetic opioids like fentanyl-laced heroin cause drug-related deaths to skyrocket. So far, the Trump administration's boldest proposal to combat the epidemic has been revising DOJ rules to allow prosecutors to seek the death penalty in some drug cases. With that in mind, the results of a recent study published this week might be of interest. The study, published by an independent team of researchers at JAMA Internal Medicine, is the latest to suggest that expanding medical marijuana could help lower rates of opioid abuse. In every state where marijuana is legalized in some form, there have been significant drops in opioid addiction, abuse, and overdose. Go figure. This is nothing new. Hundreds of studies show the same results, yet the state continues on with its archaic and undemocratic crusade against one of the few things that actually combat the problem. So instead of trying to stop the problem in the first place, the dependency and addiction to opioids, a trillion-dollar industry, by the way, which directly correlates with the rise in opium from U.S.-controlled Afghanistan, they want you to use a drug with deadly side effects to mask the issue instead. Oh, but don't worry, they have a drug they can prescribe to combat those deadly side effects. And it only has a few harmful side effects itself, and we can treat those with another drug. This is the ongoing loop we continue to see. We need to begin to recognize what's actually going on here, and also recognize the actual efficacy of these natural alternatives that we've been convinced over the years are absolute lunacy, when in reality, they're what we should be using all along. Moving on to the next story, coming from the freethoughtproject.com, town bypasses constitution, U.S. citizens given 60 days to turn in guns or become criminals. Residents of Deerfield, Illinois were just handed down an unconstitutional decree from their local government. They now have 60 days to give up their guns or be fined up to $1,000 per day. The gun ban ordinance was passed on April 2nd. Upon carefully reading the ordinance, residents will be left with revolvers, 22 caliber plinking rifles, and double barrel shotguns to defend their homes and families from criminals who could care less about the law. Deerfield mentioned a number of cities that where mass shootings took place, including Sutherland Springs, Texas, where 26 people were killed in the First Baptist Church. That shooting was actually stopped by a man who used the very gun Deerfield voted to ban. No mention was made of that fact in the ordinance, however. Also included in the gun ban were semi-automatic pistols, which can accept higher than 10-round magazines. That's virtually all full-size semi-automatic pistols. Even though the village trustees ignored the pleas of residents to leave their guns alone and pass the ordinance anyway, many residents were encouraged to ignore the gun ban and engage in civil disobedience. Predictably, law enforcement and retired law enforcement members of the community are exempt from the ban. Currently in the U.S., law enforcement kills around 1,200 citizens per year. Ironically, that number is actually four times higher than those who die from rifles. As the article notes, cops have killed 450% more people than have died in the past 40 years of mass shootings. Now, first of all, it's important to understand that regardless of the emotions people are charged up about due to these recent shootings, until the Second Amendment is actually repealed, it does not stipulate what kind of guns and arms we're talking about. So this act is highly unconstitutional, regardless of your feelings on the matter. If you feel it should be changed, then go ahead and fight for that. But as it stands right now, this should not be allowed under the Constitution of this country. Again, this is the very action, when discussed by concerned citizens years ago, was deemed crazy, unheard of. That would never happen, you crazy conspiracy theorists. But now, the ones who were once calling them crazy either knew all along it was the plan, or have now been propagandized with new go-to responses as to why this is not the same thing. This is about the shootings and protecting people from law-abiding armed lunatics and criminals. Makes sense. It's time to wake up here and smell the burning Constitution. Moving on to the next story, coming from collectiveevolution.com, the epidemic of allergy in children launched in the late 1980s and early 1990s. The epidemic of allergy in children was launched in the period between the late 1980s and early 1990s. ER admission records, back-to-back United Kingdom cohort studies, and eyewitness accounts of teachers confronted by the flood of severely allergic children confirm this period of change. This allergy epidemic occurred in specific countries, UK, Australia, Canada, US primarily, involving just children at the same time. What has the power to do that? Allergy is an evolved defense against acute toxicity and is provoked every time one is vaccinated. One can be sensitized to anything in the body or outside of it through the procedure and easily be made atopic, typically associated with heightened immune responses to common allergens. Through the late 1980s and early 1990s, the number and potency of vaccines increased. Through the 1990s, coverage rates expanded and the age at first injection dropped to birth with Hep B and K1. We introduced the first 5-in-1 vaccine in 1994 with Alum Advents. Rates of allergy in children to all manner of substances soared. Once a child's immune system has been skewed and the child is atopic, he or she is at risk of developing more allergies. This was clearly described by the LEAP study that looked at children at high risk of developing peanut allergy. In other words, children who were already allergic to a food were at high risk. Random exposure to peanuts after that resulted in peanut allergy in many of the children. The medical literature is overwhelming in its clarity on the powerful nature of vaccines in skewing the immune system. And as the article says, it is a huge open secret. This is something that I think I've been calling this out for a very long time. The idea that we just on a dime, all of a sudden we have peanut allergies. Like, people don't realize that it's actually illegal today to bring peanuts in most schools for this exact reason. Now, that doesn't just happen. We don't just have this random change in you know, where people are just all of a sudden allergic to peanuts in the vast majority of our children population. That's absolutely alarming. But what this is talking about in this article is that there's a very specific time frame where we saw this happen. And it perfectly correlates with the rise in the vaccines given to our children. And there's, and it's not just the correlation there. There's studies that show this exact thing and why vaccines do this exact same thing to our bodies and actually manipulate our immune system. Now, it's, again, like they said, this is a huge open secret. This is not something that people in the industry actually disregard. They just think, they honestly just think it's for a greater good. It's somehow more positive to get to take these very dangerous medicines just because of the claims behind them. Now, I've always made the point that I don't inherently think vaccines are bad for you. I think anything has to do with the intent behind it. And I truly think there is a very nefarious and sinister intent behind a lot of the things we're dealing with today. And I think that if given the right intent and the right people, plenty could be good for us. But I still think that there's a lot of information historically, specifically from the creator of the polio vaccine himself, who openly talked about the fact that the vaccine didn't actually do anything. And it was really the change in the way that people adapted to the disease itself. I mean, that's all on record. You can go look it up yourself. But there's so much behind this. And I think that this, just the simple correlation between these timelines begins to open our eyes to the fact that we are being lied to in so many ways that we don't realize. And at the end of the day, we need to begin asking ourselves, what else are we being lied to about? We can no longer trust the word of these career criminals, as our own history, long past and recent, can clearly show us. There are things going on just behind the scenes right now that would horrify the general population, which to a large degree is why so many choose not to see it. But we are in the 11th hour here, and can no longer choose to be willfully ignorant of what is really going on. All I ask is that we all keep an open mind and begin questioning all sources. And as I always say, that includes me as well, and especially the sources we have long since chosen to trust at face value with no due diligence. All too often, due to their incessant claims to be trustworthy and honest, as that tends to be the primary source that is leading us in the wrong direction. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.